Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
You want me to listen to something? I know you do.
Yeah, I do. This is funny. I just want to know what this guy is saying. I want to know. It's a great song. We normally start off with a song. I'm going to play this song. It's a song by the Stranglers. This way. Better watch out for the... Is he saying string beans? You better watch out for the string beans. You better watch out for the string beans. Watch out for the... Is there something in the fucking string beans?
I don't know. Have you watched that? Who's that comedian that
He's very funny.
The one that did the
Yeah.
What was his name?
What's the other one?
Are you switching that off?
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, I'm switching.
I know. I was going to say it looked like you were pressing the button for the last 10 minutes.
I'm fucking a bit technologically challenged.
Who was the guy who did the
You know, he does that song by the Cars.
No.
Yeah, he does. He does. He goes pork pie. Who's going to take you home?
Who is it? It's a guy that does it online. He gets on the stage and he just changes the lyrics of all the songs.
I'll get one of the,
someone, the
guys to find it.
I'll find it. Anyway, it's very funny.
Thank you, darling. You better watch out for the string beans. That's the sort of song you would play to someone who's going to your favorite. You've recommended a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And you're saying, go to the fucking Chinese restaurant, but you better watch out for the string beans.
Peter Kay, that's his name.
Peter Kay. Now, if you ever get a chance to see any of his stuff on Facebook.
It's very funny.
On YouTube.
It's very funny.
It is hilarious. I love it.
It's funny how you, I think that you've got this plethora of songs every time we have a podcast, you're like, okay, I'm doing this thing with the songs. I need to find a song now.
But I just thought that was funny. Pork pie. Who's going to take you?
That was funny, actually. on that other video
there's one that he does in London, and he's going back up the stage, and he's a big lad, you know, and he stops at one stage and he turns around to the audience, flicks his head around, he goes, I do all my own choreography.
It's very funny.
Anyway. How's things? You all right?
I'm all right. How are you?
Mate, fucking strange stuff happening in the world at the moment, like with relationships. Everybody around me. And I know I'm creating my own reality, but it's like I'm working out all my problems in other people.
In other people's relationships.
In other people's relationships. I'm thinking, fuck, man.
What's happening? Talk to me.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I know some of what it's happening.
But. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's like it all seems to be happening at once. You know, it's like... If, you know, some relationships have fallen apart, some relationships have fallen apart and they're getting back together, some people are...
So there's a bit of challenge happening around.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's... it's for sure.
In terms of relationships is what I'm saying.
In terms of relationships. And I think, you know, I sit there and I give people advice on relationships sometimes and I think, who the fuck are you to give anybody advice? Because you have to own the part of you that's crap.
I know.
I'm terrible. I mean, I just got given out to by Tash this morning because I wasn't reading the room properly. I was being a bit, you know.
Yes.
I was poking the bear. And dear relationships, you got work relationships. You know, you're trying to navigate relationships all the time, and there is no real rule. Well, there's no real rule book apart from life experience, you know. You can read a book, but if you haven't experienced what you've read in the book, it's only what you've read in a book.
Do you think it's harder for other people in terms of like just that reading the room or understanding what's up sort of thing, like in terms of seeing what's happening? Some people are a bit more aware and can go, okay, I can pick that, you know, I can see something's gone. Even if I'm ignoring it, I know something's going on.
Yeah.
And other people are kind of just like, do you think other people are kind of going along oblivious, or do you think everybody kind of knows when something's not right?
Yeah, for me, I just get off on annoying people. You know, I just get off on annoying Cash.
But that's
on annoying you.
But I know you do, but then do you not get sometimes that it is gone too far, or do you just not care?
When someone starts crying, is that when?
That happens a lot with you. You kind of like, oh, sure, I'll do another joke. Yeah. No, yeah. Mitch. Yeah.
No, my dad, my kids another just joke. My no. kids just run up and slap me now. Like they just run up and, well, Dad, enough, stop it. And
yeah, like, Lola gave out to you last night. Yeah. I was there and she was like, Dad, I said that to you and you didn't listen. Like, and she just kind of gave out to you. And I like that.
Me.
I like that. And I think that's good that they're able to do that. It's not disrespect. They're not doing it disrespectfully. She's like, hang on a second. I told you that was not okay and you still did it.
Sort of but thing, it's funny, you know, when people are fighting with people, you know, first off, when you're fighting with your partner, when I'm fighting with my partner, it's like, it's all Ange's fault. Do you know what I mean?
The of whole course. Thing, it's the other person's fault.
Is the other person. But there's what we fail to remember is that there's so many mitigating factors going on that are causing problems within the relationship, you know, like there just is, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on. It's like when I'm away from home a lot, you know, I'll come home and for me, I expect I'll walk in the door, kids will come running up to me, give me a hug and a kiss, and you'll be like, oh my God, I missed you. But in reality, what happens is I come home and I just had to navigate the ship for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, and I walk in and I have this unrealistic expectation that my family will run to me and realize that I am the savior, and my wife will hold me in her arms and cry and you know.
I'd be so grateful.
But really, what happens is I come in the door and it's like, okay, I've been running this for 2 fucking weeks. Do not walk in here and interrupt any of my systems.
Yeah.
Do not.
Because she's got it running smooth.
Yeah,
sailing.
I've got this thing running smooth. Do not come in here and start dropping your clothes. Do not come in here and leave that travel bag in the middle of the bedroom and start living out of the travel bag.
Yes.
You're out of the fucking hotel room now. You're back home. Take all that stuff, put it in the washing, da 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 da. Don't give it. Don't correct the children. That's my job. I've got that damn pat and now you're interrupting. And so
the kids walk by and go, hi, Dad. I see you.
Hi, Dad. Hi, Dad. Or you know what I get every now and then? Did you bring me home a present?
It's the first thing.
Yeah, you've been away for 2 weeks. That's a present time, right? That's 2 weeks. There's a point where it's a bar of chocolate, but there's another point where the extended amount of days equates to some sort of inanimate object. But like I'm saying, there's so many mitigating factors. You step into an environment that, you know, that things are different all the time. Mm. Like you think you got it right 1 minute and then something else changes. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And then you haven't got it right and then something else changes and then you haven't got it right.
But it's probably you that's getting it wrong, to be honest.
Mm. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm the perfect husband.
Of course.
I'm the perfect, you know,
partner.
Dark overlord.
So what's going on then? What's happening in terms of the people around you and what you're seeing and
well,
stuff?
I can only really talk about myself because...
Can I ask you a question then?
Yeah.
Do you think that you not being away has affected that?
Because
so used to, like your relationship, you and Ange, you're very much like, you're very independent, both of you. Mm. You come together as a couple beautifully, but you're very independent.
Yeah.
And I know that at the beginning of February, she's always ready for you to get back to work and hand you over because you're like, okay, you've done enough home time. Now off you go because she knows you go stir crazy anyway because you're not
bananas.
Doing your work. You need to be inspired in terms of your vision and your mission.
I need to be on stage. And
that's not to say that what you're doing at home isn't a part of that, but if you're not out on stage and doing some of that stuff. Mm. So this year, being the fact that you haven't got on a plane other than the first 3 months,
mm-hmm.
How do you think that's impacted things?
Well, I think we've gone from, it's funny, we had a big blow up last week, maybe the week before, right? And it was leading up to this blow up and it was like, you go through a couple of phases, like, you know, you hear the phase of, oh, it's great to have you home and I love having you home. And then it goes into the phase of not hearing anything like that. And then it goes into the phase of, oh my God, I can't wait until he has to get back on the plane. Fuck off. And then it goes through the phase of, okay, he's not going to get on a plane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to get away. I just want a room on my own with an empty bed where Oliver hasn't farted
stuck
on my face.
His leg in your face.
His big toe up my bum.
He takes up a lot of space for a little kid.
Oh my God, he's only a fucking midget.
I know.
Like oh my God, it's like the whole bed is his circus platform. But, and then so you go, I go through the same phase. If I want to get into a hotel, just get me away from all this. Oh my God, this is crazy. And then where you go through the phase, and then you reach into a phase where you know, the things that make your wife want to get rid of you out of the house or you get away from the family have to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they have, you got to deal with this now. Yeah. You know, you got to fucking talk. You got to open up. You got to, and, you know, a lot of the time what happens with me is, you know, I just want to be understood. Mm. You know, I want her to feel my love for her without me actually showing her I love her. You should fucking automatically know that I fucking love you. And if you don't, well, that's your problem and I'm going to fucking beat you with that problem. And, you know, I'm going to ignore you. That's my primitive part of me.
She should just know it and you don't have to be saying
shouldn't
it.
Shouldn't she just know
like,
it?
Don't you get it?
Do I have to sit with you and hold? Do I have to listen?
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating. But that's what happens. And, you know, last week when I had this blow up, I realized that it's the simplest little things, you know, just the simplest little things that allow Ange and me to connect, you know, me just telling her, you're a fucking great mom.
Yeah.
You know, you just look
great. That's her love language, right? Yeah. Is words of affirmation.
Yeah, you just look great. You know, you just look amazing. Mm. And, you know, a funny thing happened over the past 2 weeks with this blow up because it was like for the first time, I actually allowed myself to not just say those things, but to feel those things. Do you know what I mean? To actually stop. In the whole time we've been married.
Mm, like it's almost
and we've been together.
19 years or so.
19 years. Yeah. It went from words to me actually stopping and going, hey, buddy, have a look at your wife. You know, your wife is lovely.
What do you think stopped that or what do you think was in the way of that before?
I don't know. I think, you know, sometimes I think it's like that expectation of you should know this. We've been together 19 years. Yeah. Fucking,
I wouldn't be with you otherwise.
Yeah, I'd be off somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? But also, I mean, they think we're a crystal ball.
Yeah.
And I think she's a crystal ball. Mm. You know, we're meant to. But when I did that and I stopped and I started to, you know, there's that great story of the guy that goes into the town and, you know, he has
the dairy.
He has a dairy and he goes and on all, he's a king and all these women line up and he picks this woman, you know, who's the daughter of this, you know, this poor farmer. And, you know, she's just no self-esteem. She's filthy, dirty. Her clothes are terrible. And he picks her out of everybody. And then somebody comes to visit him about a year later. When he comes in, here's this beautiful princess just walking around the house who's powerful, independent, greets him at the door, has a conversation. And he asks the king, where's the wife? Is she in the kitchen with the rest of the maids? He goes, no, that's the woman who greeted you at the door. And the guy's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He goes, yeah, but when you treat them like that, right?
Mm.
People blossom. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think what was happening was being lucky.
I think the message with that story, just quickly, that was from one of the old Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Oh.
Right? Years ago I read it. And I can't remember what it's called, whether it's called The Dairy or something like that, but the guy's name is Johnny and he goes in and the father didn't have very much money or whatever and this woman looked fairly plain, but he paid a high dowry for her. He paid her eight cows, which was a high dowry, right?
Yeah.
And later on when the guy didn't know who she was, he said to the guy, I knew I loved her, right?
Mm.
But I wanted an eight-cow wife, meaning a wife that knew her worth and that's why, and in her knowing that, she was able to stand up and shine and be that way.
Right. Yeah,
that's
why that
story. Anyway, I've totally bastardized that story, yeah. But the message was that it took – we know these things ourselves, but when we're in a relationship, it's important to be able to hear these things from our partners and to be able to feel them from our partners as well, right?
But
that's not putting the responsibility on our partner to do that because we have to be those things, but it does make us feel better when we have someone say.
Just those little things. Yeah. You know, just those little things that you think are not playing a role in the argument. You think the argument is the argument, but the argument is just a buildup of all these little things.
Yeah.
It takes many straws to break a camel's back.
Yeah.
you know, and not just one fucking straw, not just the one problem that you had that day with your partner. Yeah. It takes a litany of fucking straws. Yeah. And I think that, that, you know, I also noticed yesterday I was taking the mickey out of Angie. I was just taking the piss, you know, and you know, she will always go, oh, he's, you know, he's just, but I realized yesterday that that was actually hurting her. And I, last night I saw how it affected her motor function and how she was behaving. And I have to, I'm going to go home today and I'm going to talk to her about it. And, but, and making a joke is something that's important to her. Mm. Does that make sense? And instead of realizing, no, this is in a, this is important to you, and this is an important moment in your life, and this is important what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's just my way of trying to escape feeling that and yeah. connecting with that with her. So I can say to her, look, fuck, you know, I get what's yeah. happening here. You yeah. know, I understand.
And Angie's actually really good at being able to take that joke on.
Yeah.
But I think yesterday there was definitely
yeah.
there was definitely something mm. that was more, and because you didn't know how to handle it, you mm. reverted back to how you did handle it without mm-hmm. realizing that perhaps she just needed that more you not sidestepping that because you didn't want to feel uncomfortable.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is important, right? So then I know I've just said that, and now you're rolling it out of my head.
I'm like,
and I was just trying to communicate that.
Can you cognitively hear my brain?
I could. So I think that, you know, I was talking today about the different types, you know, in relationship. You know, I have because I'm friends with the people you're friends with. We've got like similar people around us that are. So I know who you're talking about when you're saying, you know, people that got some issues. But what's happening is that it's funny how there's a couple of key factors, I think, right? And one of them is that we expect our partners to be X, Y, Z, but we don't want to step up to the plate ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what happens is that we end up blaming the partner because we have not been able to do it for ourselves. Like one of our friends, one of the relationships, he was being exceptionally warm, she was being cold in somebody's perception, like an outsider's perception, right? But the thing is that neither of them wanted to try and be, you have to be both parts. And if you're not both parts, then one person will play one role and the other person will play another role. And it's like these roles have to be acted out in the relationship. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And because that's the way that we feel like we can get by, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not just in those traits. It can be in any trait. It's mm-hmm. like we attach ourselves and our identity with our partner to that trait, you know. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody else here as well about the fact that, you know, she's quite strong in her relationship. She's quite strong, right? But in her strength is her inability, I suppose, to sort of soften, because in her past experiences she's had a few things happened that she wasn't safe.
Yeah.
So as much as she's got a great guy and she's married and they, you know, they love each other, there's a part of her that feels that in order to keep that protection mechanism on herself, she's got to stay the strong, right? And so in her doing that, she doesn't ever get to really own some of the beautiful feminine qualities she has about herself, to allow herself to soften and allow him to take another role because she's got that role. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. And so when we attach ourselves to a certain role, we don't allow ourselves sometimes to go like fully allow the person in, fully allow the other person to or fully – and. That's not something that happens overnight. I mean, you've been 19 years at it and you're still getting certain things. It's not meant to happen. That's the beauty of a relationship. I think
what you were trying to say there was viciously wrong.
No, but I'm saying that there's the beauty of a relationship is that it does grow. And it doesn't matter which type of relationship, whether it's your partner, whether it's kids, whether it's colleagues, mm-hmm. whatever, this changes, right? But if you want to be stuck in a particular identity, then if you want to be stuck in a particular identity that you have to be strong, right? Yeah. It it kind of cuts you off from certain possibilities of allowing a different level of love into your relationship. Yes. Yeah. So in this particular case, this girl, she just wants to be strong. So she it's taking away some of the level of the next part that she can play in her relationship, which is allowing, being able to receive love, being able to receive somebody taking care of her and allowing that and opening herself up and
being
not
able to trust it.
Being able to trust that. And it's not about trusting another person, it's about being able to trust yourself, that it's time to be able to do that. Makes sense? So tell me what you think, like, because another thing
I've
noticed.
I mean, there's also the part of us that's a product of our environment, the product of our upbringing.
Yes.
You know, like I come from my parents were.
And it's an Irish thing with you guys as well. It's about, go on.
My parents, as much as my parents are lovely people, like lovely people.
Beautiful.
They're very cold.
Yeah.
No, they weren't deliberately cold. Like my father would come up and give me a hug and he'd fucking slap me on the back, you know. Yeah, that's an Irish one. My mother is like all the time, oh, you know I love you, son. You know I love you. And she'll hold me and give me a hug. And, you know, and then she doesn't know how to handle that hold. So she's, and, you know, pushes me away. But I come from that, you know. So I realize with my own kids how friggin' important it is for them to stop and see us hugging and holding and loving each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, and receiving
Giving
and receiving.
Yeah, and sometimes when we'll do it, I'll look over at them and they'll be like, ew, which is a response based on the fact that we're messing. Does that make sense? And so we're saying love and affection is a joke and we shouldn't be. So I'm really consciously making the effort to be close with Angie and hold her and let them get past that feeling of, so that they just see that, hey, mum and dad are just holding each other.
But then you have to receive too with that, right? Yeah. Because you find that difficult sometimes, don't you? Feel like you do.
Yeah.
I feel like you do. Because like even just before today, I came around and gave you a hug. But
because do you know why? Because sometimes I feel like people are hugging me and I take it as they think I'm weak. Or they think I'm going through something. They don't hug me just because it feels like there's always something in it. Do you know what I mean? Rather than just going, I'm just going to give you a hug. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just going to give you a hug. But that's, you know, one of the times that I personally embrace people. You've seen me do it in audiences all the time.
Yeah.
I personally embrace people is when I see that they're being really vulnerable and they're really opening up and they're really saying something that everybody else would see as quite fucking traumatic. And everybody else is in shock and based on what this person has just revealed. And then just going up in that moment and giving them a hug to let them know, okay, it's just a fucking story. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't define you now unless you want it to. And so for me, I feel like the hugs are loaded from people sometimes.
Isn't it interesting that you feel that way though?
Yeah.
Because that is in itself is why you don't allow yourself to receive.
Yeah.
Because you think that somebody can't, because it is loaded at the end of the day. Someone's giving you a hug because they want something for them.
Yeah.
As well as them wanting something for you.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be just one.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Fuck it. Look, dude, I fucking totally get it. But I struggle with it. I'm not going to tell you I fucking
No. I have no problem with it, but I'm pointing it out because I know that that's true for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what was I going to say? Oh, so another thing that I wanted to cover is sort of boundaries as well in relationships, because I've noticed that the other situations in the relationships that are happening is that people don't really understand the concept of boundaries, you know, and the concept of understanding that
Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
So Oliver, you know, he's 4 years old and he's learning about his private parts at school, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And yesterday he comes in, he sits beside me and I'm looking at him and I go over and I'm just giving him an elbow and then I put my arm around him to read him a story, you know, and he goes, oh, that's too tight. So I loosen off my arm and he stops and he looks at me and he goes, Dad, you're in my personal space right now.
He is so cute.
It's so funny. I burst out laughing. I'm like, oh, dude, that is cool. And I just move away from him. I'm like, is this okay? And he's like, yeah. And then I just grabbed him and threw him down on the bed and I'm just blowing in his ear and his belly. And, oh, it's just so cute.
It's very cute. But this is important, right? Because I think sometimes we don't know our personal space. And you talk about it a lot when we're doing we're talking about relationships and relationships in you and other things, right, where we hand ourselves over. And now handing ourselves over is like we don't understand how much and how imperative who we are and our line and our understanding of ourselves is in order to have a relationship, you know, because when we sacrifice a part of ourselves in order to have a relationship and we allow a line to be crossed, right, something that is really important to us and we don't know how to communicate it, then we will – and then we keep allowing it and keep allowing it and keep allowing it. Then right. we end up getting hurt down the track.
Yeah.
But the hurt, as much as it doesn't dismiss what anybody else has done, the hurt has come from you not being able to say that this is not okay. Yeah. And this is why it's so important. You know, when the kids were young, I remember Ange and I used to say to you, if Lexi and Lola say to you, no, stop tickling, right, you have to respect that, because the first thing that they learn is from their father that if she says no, that her no has power and that it's okay for her to be able to do that, right? And this is right when they were babies, right? This is right, baby. So this is years and years ago we're going. But it's the same concept. If we don't know how to say no, this is not okay for me, it doesn't feel right for me, it's not, you know, good for me, then what happens is that we keep allowing it, keep allowing, and we teach other people how to treat us.
Yeah.
And then in the end we get hurt, but we've been hurt because we've sacrificed our own understanding of what's right for us in order to have a relationship. And that's not true relationship at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really important, I suppose, you know, to make sure that we have our boundaries in place and that we're clear with those, and that we – and with kids, we help them to understand and discover what their boundaries are and to be able to communicate 100%. That. I think it's very, very important. Now, Ollie yesterday, I got in his space yesterday as well, because I said he doesn't like it when I do this and I forget. And the other day I said to him – yesterday I said to him, oh my God, he was sitting down and doing something, and I went, oh my God, Ollie, you're so cute. And he just went, like a yelled, right? But he, and I just, I'd forgotten that he actually doesn't like me saying he's cute. There's something in him that doesn't like that. And I just went to him, oh my God, Ollie, I'm so sorry. I totally forgot it. You know, my bad kind of thing. But in that, he feels respected that I might have forgotten, but I get where he's at, and I think that's so important.
Yeah.
And what's happening around me, I think, at the moment is people are not understanding some of the boundaries and some of the things that are important to them that mean something. And this is where probably this situation with you and Ange and the joking thing happens, is that she's probably not been able to communicate to you that actually right now in this moment that that response is not okay. You've got to be able to read the room. And I need to, you know, she's trying to communicate in a different way. But when we don't have boundaries, we end up – because Brené Brown talks a little bit about it, and she's actually really good. And she does. She talks a little bit about it, and she says the people that are the most compassionate are the ones with the strongest boundaries.
Yeah.
And you think that that might be the opposite. You think that, oh, if I hand myself over, I'm going to be more compassionate. But no, because the compassion starts with you. You've got to have compassion for yourself in order to be able to give it to others, right?
Yeah.
So what's the biggest thing you've learned over the last few weeks then in terms of the relationships, you think?
I think it's an evolution thing. You know, I talk about like the 0 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21, 21 to 30 to 28, 28 to 35. And, you know, I'm coming into that age where I'm learning more about relationships and what it is that my partner needs and how she feels love and what her language is, and being okay with me being that person that does that, because a real man is not fucking hard and he's both hard and soft.
Yeah.
He's able to create pleasure and pain. He's able to create support and challenge. You know, I'm going from that part of me that just has to support. No, you've also got a challenge as well.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, be empathetic, sympathetic, you know. I'm learning how to do that. I think that I, you know what, also the biggest thing I've learned is that I really know fuck all. that I when it comes to relationships, I there's things I know and I know well, but there's also so much that I just do not know.
But it's also really easy to be able to do it with other people. Sometimes you're blind to seeing what's happening for yourself. You don't because you really only can see one side to a degree, you know. And that whole and I think that's important because I've noticed in the last few weeks that you've really stepped up, you know, in terms of your self and your understanding of who you are. Because understanding more about and you've also understood more about yourself, and I think that's important, right? Because then that makes you not just a better partner, it makes you better here at work, it makes you better with the kids, it makes you better as a friend, it makes a difference across the board, right?
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Better lover.
I saw the shorts you were wearing yesterday. I don't know how much action you would have got out of them.
You know, so we're going to stay at the Crown, and I'm going to get some swimwear. I'm going to get you some swimwear, and I'm like, okay. And then I came out with these shorts. I'm like, babe, I don't need swimwear. I'm just going to wear these bad boys. And she straight away went, as soon as you take them off, they're going straight into the bin.
Oh dear. Anything else you want to touch?
That's it, girl.
All right.
See ya.
See ya.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.